If you go way down south in Israel towards Jordan, you would come across the remains of the city of Jericho. Still people living there, but long ago it was a great center, and people from all different sides came, and that was their meeting point. So several things, happenings took place there in Jericho. We know the story of the little man, Zacchaeus, in the sycamore tree. Much later we got to know Jericho better, because it's only a few miles away from Qumran, the caves, where they discovered the important manuscripts. Many years ago, it was my privilege to stay there for a few weeks and to try and study some of the manuscripts. I must say, I wasn't very successful. My Aramaic and Hebrew is not what it should be, but it was a good experience to be there. And the story that we're about to read took place in Jericho many, many years ago. Mark 10:46-52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. And our second reading from the New Testament is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. "But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." And just listen to the beautiful words that follow. "So we do not lose heart. And even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." I couldn't help it. While I was reading this over and over during the past week, I found myself in tears as we discover the climbing years, as we are so aware of our own weakness as human beings, to know that even if the outer body wastes away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. "For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Here ends our scripture readings for this morning. My friends, a certain well-known preacher was visiting a little rural town. And he came specially, and he just arrived that day to preach at an old-fashioned revival campaign that evening. But that afternoon, he wrote and he needed to mail a letter. So he went downtown, and there was really only one big long street and nothing else. So he asked the little boy in the main street how he could get to the post office. Well, the little boy immediately told him and gave him the directions. And then the preacher said, "Well, son, if you come to the sports stadium tonight, I will tell you how to get to heaven." Little boy replied, "No, thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office." Well, as many of you also in my early days, those were still the days of the great revivals. And even us there far away in the southern hemisphere, now and then received some of the great preachers of 30, 40, 50 years ago in South Africa. And it was always a big event, no matter to what church you belonged. They got a sports stadium and we went there. Our high school kids, sometimes a little bit irreverent, but we went anyway. And that's during those years, I remember so well, that I for the first time became aware of the blind beggar, Bartimaeus. Because I wasn't really prepared or in the mood for this big American revival there in our little city. But somehow the message got through, and as a high school kid, I heard the question as if for the first time, Jesus asking the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Must have been a good preacher, because he sort of waited for an answer. And I remember how I scrambled to think, now, if Jesus really stood here and asked me, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would I say to him? Because that's an important faith question today, coming to us direct from the sacred pages of Scripture. And this particular story about Jesus is so beautiful and powerful that it literally transports us back through the ages and teaches us so much about our Christian faith in our times. It's a story that seems to jump over the centuries and making its appearance over and over again. And still it is, as we can really see the event taking place, this strong story of the poor beggar Bartimaeus, the story of unconditional faith and trust. Jesus went by that Jericho road where this poor man was sitting begging by the wayside and yelling out louder and louder. Wasn't a good thing to do. People tried him to calm down and say, "No, don't bother. Jesus is just walking by," but he's somehow kept on screaming. But the Bible tells us that something happened, and there's a little illustration in there. That beggar that day was touched and changed forever. So it is really a story about faith. Jesus went by, the beggar was yelling out, and the beggar showed the faith, the confidence, and his faith, according to Jesus, made him whole again. A whole gospel in a few sentences. More than 150 years ago, the well-known great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, "A little faith will bring your soul to glory, but a great faith will bring glory to your soul." I found that so beautiful. How many times can you and I get transported through our faith to see burdens lifted, to see the sun come up, to recognize a beautiful day, and to know He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His child. Ain't that beautiful? A faith that will never desert us no matter what happens. Rain or sunshine. Reminds me of the story. I love to tell the story. This was also an old African preacher. And I remember those days. I don't know whether it happened here in America, but in dry times, the farmers got together. And I was a city minister. But I sometimes got invitations to go out somewhere in the rural areas to preach during such a prayer meeting for rain. Those were realities in those days, and everybody would come to church, and they didn't do it on a Sunday. They would specially stop all activities in a little town, and that day is a prayer for rain. And well, that's where the story comes from. And they had this huge meeting. The people were summoned from all over for this open-air prayer meeting. And they all came, and it was a great service. But something bothered this old African minister. He was not looking pleased at all. And finally, he sternly looked at the people and he said, "Brothers and sisters, tell me where's your faith? Tell me where's your faith? You know why we came. We came to pray for rain. Now my question is, where are your umbrellas?" You know, faith without umbrellas is just a different way of saying prayer without expectation. No, I do not expect that my prayer will make it rain. But I do believe that my earnest prayer and sincere faith will connect my being and my soul with God's will and ways, whether it rains or not. And this man, Bartimaeus, had all the odds against him. He was blind, he was destitute, he was a beggar, he was sitting by the roadside, and the entire world was passing him by. And you know, that's a feeling that we still know in our times. Recently, one of our lovely people had to go to hospital, and it was a several-week story. And she said, "You know, I've been so active throughout my life. For the first time in hospital, I felt as if the whole world was passing me by and there wasn't a thing I could do about it." And sometimes the world passes us by. Sometimes we also feel, if my situation was different, I have all the odds against me. And from there comes this story, this illustration of Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoon, where one day, when he finally overcame some difficulties, says to Linus, "Oh, I feel good, man. I just got back from the grocery store. Guess what? The owner and his wife both complimented me, and they said I was a very nice boy." And then Linus, in a real stern voice, replied, "In the 6th chapter of Luke, it says, 'Woe to you when all men speak well of you.'" Charlie Brown leans his head on his hands and sighs, "Well, so much for feeling good." May we never be guilty. And oh, may we share the joy, and may we rejoice with those who discover the goodness and the kindness of God. And I think that somehow this specific incident landed in the Bible to help us through the centuries. Because I think the gift that Jesus had was to tell a story in such a way that we could replace the incident there with our own situation. And we can, in a very real way, sometimes imagine ourselves with the handicaps that we are having sitting by the roadside. Often not physical. They may be emotional. People carrying such heavy burdens. And some of us here in church this morning have concerns that the world know little, very little about. Things that bothers you day after day. Things that doesn't seem to go away. Many people are handicapped. But what life, by what life is doing to them. And in a certain sense, when we walk through these doors, or wherever when we go to worship and to be in the presence of a congregation singing their joy and their love to God, sometimes we go in there and with a quiet prayer, "Oh God, nobody knows about my pain, but you do, and would you touch me today? Would you touch me in such a way that my burden gets lighter?" Now, people indeed have problems, and if there's anybody here that say, "Well, I don't have problems," good for you, but I am reminded of that sign on a certain plant manager's door. If you have problems, come in and tell me about them. That's my job. But if you do not, please come in anyhow and tell me how you do it. Bartimaeus had problems, but he did not give up. He heard about Jesus, the story was told, and nothing could stop him. We hear his call in Scripture, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And it's amazing to see this crowd with their mood swing. And the Bible says many of the people in the crowd rebuked him, said, "Quiet, quiet, Bartimaeus. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Don't make such a racket. Don't make such a scene." The Bible says he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the miracle happened. In that huge crowd, Jesus somehow heard his voice, the Bible says. "Call him." And then the crowds are like that. Suddenly another mood swing. Listen to them now. "Take heart, friend. Arise. He's calling you." And the Bible says that he threw off his mantle. He sprang up and he couldn't see, so he simply had to follow his sense of direction and rush to Jesus. And then Jesus asked him the big question, "Friend, what do you want me to do for you?" Here is answer, "Master, let me see again." The deepest desire of his heart. Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has made you well." You see, that's why Bartimaeus had such faith that he even fought against the crowd. Somehow he had to break through. And Jesus rewards him by saying, "It's your faith, Bartimaeus, your faith that made you well. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Friends, this story comes to us from many, many years ago. But my imagination tells me that that man was never, ever the same again. He would never allow anyone to put him down again. I'm sure he never gave in to discouragement again, because he discovered that he had value in the eyes of God. His faith was the proof. And if you are burdened and heavy laden, may I ask you, where is your faith? Because once again, we hear the voice ringing through the ages. "What do you want me to do for you today?" And when you are heavy laden, remember who you are. And when the problems come, and they will come, remember how you feel here in the presence of so many, worshiping God, how you feel this morning. Remember who you are. Remember the faith that no one can take from you. Let me explain. Long ago, a young African man was kidnapped the coast of Sierra Leone, and there from his home he was forced, taken into slavery, to cross the ocean to America. It was a stinking barge of festering humanity known as a slave ship. After months of experiencing rotten food, disease, and observing the deaths of many of those about him, the young man finally arrived in America. And soon after, the traders pushed the youth onto the slave auction block to be sold. But then came the surprise. Contrary to all the other slaves, this slave did not hang his head. No shame, no humiliation, as most of the others did. Instead, this slave stood rigidly erect, thrusting his chest out and lifting his chin high, his eyes fixed straight ahead. And that was different. The crowd stirred and murmured as the proud black man stood on the block. Why was he so different? Everyone asked. And the slave trader knew the answer. He said to the crowd, "Oh, let me tell you, this boy is the son of a king in Africa, and he simply can't forget it." Does your faith make that difference in your life? No matter what the situation, no matter what's happening, knowing I belong to the King of Kings. I am a child of God. And whether I live or whether I die, I still belong to Him. What do you want me to do for you? The question of Jesus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Do not pass me by. While you save others, my Savior, oh, save me now. Amen.